Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show with Lori Beth Jones and the crew from Studio G. We are here this evening to continue our discussions around this topic that Lori Beth has presented to us called the Omega Leader. And we have with us this evening in the studio, Lori Beth is back from a few days of traveling, and we're glad to have you here this evening. Welcome.
Thank you. This is Foghorn Jones showing up for the show.
Great. And we also have Elisa Holston representing the education pillar. Welcome, Elisa.
Good evening. It's great to be with you.
And Vicky Arteaga representing the business pillar. Welcome, Vicky.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So as we embark this evening on this topic, my name is Shelley Buckner, and I am on the show as well. We've been talking about the principles that an Omega Leader demonstrates based on some of Lori, some of your work out of Jesus in Blue Jeans. And we've been talking around the topic of poise. And so tonight we're going to continue that particular principle in looking how Jesus knew how to release as part of demonstrating the principle of poise. So open us up tonight with your thoughts about how Jesus released his team.
Well, as I'm thinking about the poise of release, I'm thinking of athletes in motion and the beauty of the basketball players that release the ball and the poise in that moment when you freeze frame the beauty of the tennis player who hits the serve and the many different sports, the soccer player releasing the kick. You have to stay balanced to give your best performance. And as we talked in some of the earlier shows, that everyone who is successful knows how to release, including the apple trees in the field, that at some point, your success depends on your ability to release. And the poise of that is staying centered in who you are and not losing your balance even as you let people go. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to have the image of the mother screaming and crying while the child, you know, walks to class and she's sort of lost her center even though there's an emotional reaction. The poise is now she's giving him to God, or her to God, to stay poised. So I think it's when you think about your posture and keeping your head tall and your shoulders straight and, you know, your shoulders over your feet, all these different things, that's poise. And that's a physical balance that also implies that you're ready to release or to surrender to God what is God's.
How does a leader know when it's time to demonstrate that kind of poise?
Well, I'd like to open that up to the group. We have leaders sitting around the table. So, Elisa, you said you only made two people cry today, so as a fire, you hadn't quite met your quota.
Maybe I can make some of you cry. I think knowing when to release, that's a huge challenge. I think there's enough earth in me that sometimes I think I don't release soon enough because of my desire to maintain control, and I think that's a constant challenge that I'm constantly balancing out. I think knowing when to release is it's a little bit intuitive for me. It's knowing when that person has what it takes in order to carry on and to move forward. But like I said, I think that I don't know if it's the earth in me. I assume it's the earth in me that has a tendency to hold on maybe longer than I should. In retrospect, I see situations in which I should have released sooner, but haven't released because of my desire to maintain control and quality and concern for that. So that kind of brings us back to the elements, so I'm going to kind of flip it back around to you.
Don't go there.
I have to go there. Help.
She didn't
get okay, well.
How do you know when it's time to release?
Vicky.
Multi-layered questions in a minute.
So for me, it's always, I don't know, probably a little bit the teacher in me when I work in the business, and I love to have people, sometimes they're young, just graduated from the university, from college, and, you know, when you do that, you think you know everything, and, you know, you can't conquer anything, right? as soon as you grab that, you're like, okay, come on, give me your best shot. So it's really interesting to see how they can come to the office, and once they realize, oh, I just know that I don't know, and just seeing that process, looking at them, how they grow, and sometimes you have to kind of like hold them accountable, help them, being more realistic, being more humble. Once they realize that, that's when they start growing into the potential that they have. And to me, it has been a very good satisfaction to see that people that have worked for me, then they get promoted to different places, different departments, or other companies. And, you know, just seeing them just being released at the right time, it's like a graduation. And it's great to see that. But timing, I think, is very important. I have had cases where they want to graduate before and they're not ready, and I don't release till they're ready to. Because it's important that when they go to the next stage, I think they're prepared for that.
Well, I noticed that you used the word balance when you were defining poise, how in the picture, the image of the mother taking the preschooler or the kindergartner to their first day and the kid starts to wail. Yes. And so when you use the word balance, it caught my attention again that poise is probably one of those water words, right? I think in some of the earlier segments we talked about that might be a natural characteristic for the waters.
When you think about it, water never loses its balance.
Mm-hmm. How so?
It always will find a level. It will always find a horizon or an even course. It may be thrown off balance, but it will immediately find its balance.
So when, you know, often we do these conferences and workshops around the awesome elements exercise where the waters, the earth, the fire, and the wind, they get in their own corner, right? And the waters are often... the fingers get pointed as wishy-washy, you know, stuck in the mud or can't make a decision or, you know, too flexible, you know, those kinds of things for their challenge side. But when we're looking at it from this angle of poise, boy, that's a whole different perspective, is being able to demonstrate balance when you make a decision. Whether to release or not to release somebody, having that, you know, I'm just kind of in awe at the moment that would be a natural water characteristic.
Yeah, I think that's very insightful. Now my guilty conscience, no, I don't have a guilty conscience. I'm just going to allow Elisa to ask her multi-layered question.
No, I wasn't going to ask. I forgot what it was. No. It's interesting, the discussion of the elements. I'm kind of reflecting in, as an elementary school principal, your anecdote about, you know, the mom dropping off the kid in the daycare anxiety. That's so true that if I had a dollar for every anxious mom that caused anxiety in their child the first day of school, I'd be sitting on a beach in Hawaii right now. It certainly is a very common phenomenon. And the tie into the elements is really interesting because, in a sense, I can see the water being poised because your example of water is always going to find level, right? But yet, water also so easily contaminated by what surrounds it.
Easily or has the ability?
Has the ability to.
Well, it might not be easily contaminated, would you say?
It takes on the toxins. Water has to constantly be going to the pure source because it will take up on what's around it.
So maybe just talking through the different elements, there's like with all of there's the strengths and there's the challenges. So maybe in the context of release, what are the strengths and the challenges for release that correspond with each of the elements? So water, I guess we kind of already tackled. Its natural status is level, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the strength side. So poise comes easily in that regard, but maybe the challenge to poise is the toxins. It's that anxious mom, right? Or maybe it's that water child that's taking on the anxiety of its mom,
mm-hmm,
that is having a hard time releasing, and it's that child that's demonstrating anxiety, as opposed to the wind kid who's like, see you later, Mom. You can leave now. I don't need you anymore, because they're so excited and anxious to establish their own social connections and kind of flit and flatten and blow like the wind does. So looking at that, not so much in the recipient end of child, but the mother, the leader, what are the challenges and the strengths with releasing with each element?
Well, I think that as we were talking, I think about fire, and we wouldn't necessarily think of fire being poised.
Right.
It's, I'm a fire. There's a lot of fire around this table. But we're always hungry. You know, the flame is always hungry, and it's leaping and lapping at any fuel source that it can. But there is a blue part of the flame that I spent a lot of time last year thinking about. And when I looked up what the blue part of the flame is, it's where there's the least toxic fumes released, because the fire is so close to the fuel source that it's almost one with it.
Pure, right.
And the further away the flame gets from the actual fuel source, then that's where it starts turning orange and yellow and starts really becoming toxic. So for fire to be balanced and poised and release, it needs to be absolutely one with the source and
mm-hmm.
just stay as the blue part of the flame.
Okay.
So Vicki, as a wind, what do you think about wind releasing?
I think wind has less problem releasing.
Just go ahead and go. I'm really moving on to the next thing.
It's just releasing every time. And so probably I think it comes natural, releasing friends and all that. But part of that, I think, is because it knows that it can come back, I think. So it knows that it can come and visit and then go out and explore or get new, but it can always come back. And maybe that knowing that the wind can always come from different sides to, you know, to one place is gives the freedom to be far away and then return to the common grounds.
Mm-hmm.
Return to, I don't know. And releasing is part of renewing, and the wind renews and visits, and I don't know.
Beautiful. Shelley, how does the earth release? Shelley, how does the earth release?
Yeah, I know that was coming. Well, I'm not really an earth.
She always says that.
I'm a fire earth. Well, I was sitting here thinking about that comment, and you know, I think if we isolate the elements, and we're talking about the principle of poise, you know, does every element have the ability to be poised? Of course, yes. I see all the heads nodding. You listeners can't hear that.
Yes.
So every element has the ability to be poised or act in poise or with poise. So I think with that common thread, we have to look deeper at the go-to responses, at the go-to actions, because
how is that?
Well, like you said, the fire isn't naturally going to do that, and I don't think Earth would naturally release maybe at first. Maybe over time, like you just indicated, seasonally, maybe the earth releases, lets go of one season and moves into the other season. So it takes time, probably, for the earth to release. They want to make sure that you understand the process and that you respect the process. So that'd be my answer.
All right, next question.
What is the danger of releasing at the wrong time or releasing too soon? Because I think timing is essential with release. So talk about timing and release and the dangers of perhaps releasing too soon, or the obvious danger of releasing too late.
Well, obviously I'm thinking of the baby bird that's fallen out of its nest. I'm thinking of the unripened fruit that's knocked off by the wind, the over-exuberant wind. To everything there is a season and a time under heaven, and the elements understand that for the most part, and I think we need to as well think about the timing, I'm thinking of the photo I took of a pear tree on my sister's farm, and the pear was green turning gold. And I said, you know, this pear is ripening. Would you and your team have the discipline to allow it to ripen, or would you try to harvest it too soon to make your quarterly numbers?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a sensitivity to timing that is very important in leadership. Like Vicki said, it hurts someone to release them too soon. And I think it's a leader's failing to do that if they were not transformed. Release is the final action after they have been excited, grounded, and transformed. That's when you release them. And on so many teams and with so many leaders, they are actively releasing untransformed
mm-hmm.
products, people, and services,
mm-hmm.
and then suddenly they're hurting because of it.
Yeah, I noticed in this particular section, Lori, on poise, it is the last chapter that he understood release, or he knew the power of release. Can you talk a little bit more about how Jesus intuitively knew that, maybe about the 12 and who he released and who he didn't release?
Well, I'm not sure that I understand the question. I'm thinking, if I may.
How do you know, you know, intuitively, you placed release here at the end of this section. So I do understand that release comes after, right? It comes in the order that we teach it and that we train it. Release is that final step as a leader that you've done with an individual or a team. How did Jesus know intuitively?
Well, that's a mystery. I mean, that's part of the mystery of Christ. The timing of when he was born, where he was born, he kept saying, it's not my time. Once he said it was not his time, and yet he went ahead and acquiesced to his mother's wishes.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to die. He asked that the cup be placed for him, but that was the Father's time. So in his human flesh, he had different notions of timing than maybe God's will for him, and I think that's true for many of us. We think we weren't ready for that illness, or it was too soon for someone to die, or it was, you know, we have these notions that are based on a human linear concept of reality, and God is so much more above that.
Well, he knew too, Lori, that he, the people that he was leaving in charge when he would depart, he didn't have a lot of time with them.
Right.
You know, they didn't have degrees and pedigrees and all kinds of lists of how to even do what he had taught them to do. And yet he somehow believed in their ability and commissioned them before departing. You know?
Right.
So that's kind of what I'm trying to get at here. Yeah. How do you do that as a leader? When you release and when not to release.
I have a comment on that. Sorry, Vicki. As you were talking about that, I was reflecting on a particular parent I have at school of a child who is disabled, and the child, in spite of his disability, is incredibly capable. So his disability is on paper, but when the specialist who for the district who comes in to observe this child can't identify which child in the room has that disability, right?
Interesting.
Mm. But yet the mother is just having an incredibly difficult time releasing. And as I was thinking about that, I think it goes to motive. That the leader's challenge is to really assess her motive. What are her motives for releasing? What are her motives for not releasing? And sometimes that's harder to get at. I mean, a water might have an easier time of going through that reflection process,
mm-hmm.
you know, than different elements. But I think knowing when to release and when not to release, if the leader can understand her motive, I think it helps her to frame understanding when it is the right time to release. And this
so
mother,
talk to us about motives a little bit. What do you mean by that?
Well, like in the case of this mom, I think her motive, she obviously cares for her son, but I think at a deeper level, her identity has become defined by her son's dependence on her.
Right.
And so who she is as a person is so tied to her child's disability that for her child to be functioning, it has an impact and implication on her own identity. So her motive...
Translate that for us real quick.
Her motive for protecting her son is self-serving.
To a leader.
To a leader?
Yeah.
As a leader, if I make it all about me, right, and not necessarily about the product and the mission and the goal of what I'm about, so either I'm not letting go because I want the appreciation or the applause or the praise or the credit to come back to me. I'm not releasing my team to go out and delegating for them to do what they need to do and being willing to share that credit, that praise, because it's all about the mission. You know, that's one thing. If I'm releasing too quickly, maybe it's because my motive is, I don't know what my motive might be. Maybe it's just a sense of being overwhelmed or just poor judgment.
Or it could be that you want to create more dependency.
I want to create more dependency,
yeah.
And they go out and fail, and they realize that they need me more.
Right.
You know, so I think it has to do with one's base as a leader and understanding those motives.
Yeah,
and also, for example, in business, the example that I said, when you have a team and releasing those challenges is not an easy thing. And if you release, I mean, everybody wants to have the right team on board, right? Especially if you handpick the people that are going to be in your team. Well, it's great when you have that synergy, and it's great that it's going well and you're growing. And if one of them is ready to release, that might bring some challenges to the team, right?
Mm-hmm.
You might need to start all over again with a new person. It's not easy. You're going to suffer as a leader. You know, if you're selfish, you're like, no, I want it here, or I want this person here because I need that for the greater good. But what is the greater good? It's your department, is your office the greater good? Or, you know, if that person goes to somewhere else, it's going to impact positively a bigger picture, the company instead of your department. Right?
Right. Or if you have people who want to move more quickly than the leader,
mm-hmm.
you know, then sometimes you're seen as not being able to release, or you're being controlling, or you're not willing.
Yeah.
The list goes on and on.
Yeah, or the opposite. I think reflecting back on my own journey as a leader and my site, I think that I released too quickly early on because I, out of ignorance, giving people the benefit, too quick to give people the benefit of the doubt because I misjudged. And it's not because they weren't trustworthy, but I released too quickly. I needed to take more time to get to know them, to understand their performance as it aligned to the mission. And I assumed a certain level of their embracing and understanding and commitment to the mission and didn't really see how everything fit in terms of the big picture. And so in retrospect, there are a lot of things early on as a leader that I released too quickly.
Talk to us, Lori Beth, about this quickly. We've got about 5 or 6 minutes. I know your voice is not well this evening, but tell us from a business perspective, either a client or someone you've coached in the past who had a problem with release, how did that play out?
Well, I've been doing some consulting with a group that they had a wrong note. They had a perfect note in the wrong place. And this person, she was causing so much dissension on the team. And all I saw was chaos and destruction in her wake. And I said to the leadership team, I said, you need to let her go. You know, this has been going on for a year and a half. And the leader was, the team refused to release her. But they did dock her pay, move her out of the office, send her, have her take a sabbatical for 6 weeks to think about what she was doing. They pulled the department together without her. The department began to thrive in her absence, but they didn't fire her. And the CEO kept telling me, I know she has potential. I just know it. We've just got to find it. And they assigned this person. It was a wind who was doing a lot of damage. In a nurse capacity.
Lovely.
And they paired her with someone who really believed in her. There was one lone voice in the whole, really almost the whole company that thought she was getting, you know, a raw deal from the other people and all that. And then so the CEO paired them up, and it's been amazing, the results of H2O. Mm. And, the person I thought was a hydrogen bomb waiting to explode just needed a little more oxygen and a little more. It was a chemistry deal. And so I learned from the leaders that I was working with that sometimes it was like the Lord saying, I will not let you go. And I remember this woman in the office crying, and it came down to her not thinking she was worth being saved, literally, or her job. And the leadership said, no, we think you can do this. So it was an amazing turnaround to witness, and I was very humbled by it because, of course, my wind fire said, cut it off. Let's go on to the next one. But they so believed in this person, and it really amazed the rest of the employees to see their commitment to keeping this person on the team. It'll go down as one of the true leadership turnarounds that I have witnessed in consulting.
I should say, in the chapter in the book, you talk about in Isaiah with King Uzziah dying, and it's then that Isaiah saw the Lord. And I think, you know, you talk about release in terms of your team, right, and your subordinates. But I think personally and spiritually, there's great power in releasing and identifying what are those obstacles that are keeping us from seeing the big picture, what are those obstacles that are keeping us from seeing God and connecting with God, those distractions that might exist.
Well, I'm thinking elementally of the ultimate release. And Jesus said, I have come to bring fire. And he compared himself to living water. And so as I think about him ascending into heaven, when fire drops into water, there is an exchange. And what happens to the water? It evaporates. And so it's a beautiful elemental transformation. He ascended into heaven almost like a vapor as the fire of the Holy Spirit came down. So that's the release of surrender. That's the power of releasing who we thought we were. I did hear a powerful sermon this week, and the preacher was quite fiery, but one of the things I liked that he said was, why are you worrying about what people think? Are you still alive? You're supposed to be dead long time ago. And so the ultimate release is to give up our notion of who we think we are and let God make us into who we were created to be.
Very, very well said. Thank you, Lori Beth, for sharing with us. And looks like we're just now heading into a minute or less. Anybody have any other thoughts? Vicki, did you have something else you wanted to share?
When Jesus released his apostles and gave me these and I haven't lost any, and releasing them, I think it's released with the confidence that, as you said, the Holy Spirit was coming. So he is, he know he was, even though he's God, he was part of a bigger thing. So the other side of God was going to complete, you know. It's like a relay race in a... So that was pretty good.
Very cool. Well, this is going to wrap up our time with you this evening and really our section on poise. And next time that we're together, next week, we will begin a new section on perspective, what it means for the Omega leader to bring perspective as they are living out the leadership roles with their team and on a team. So thank you all for being here this evening in the studio, and those who are listening from a distance, we appreciate you joining us, and we look forward to our time again next week. Take care and practice some poise as you release this week. Good night.